Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. Today we get to talk to someone whose relationship has changed drastically with running over the last 10 years. From forced team sport running to dealing with grief, she eventually found her way into a healthy relationship with running that she still embraces today. We talk about her first and second marathon experience and what changed for her along the way. I'm excited to share her story, so without further ado, please welcome Kegan. Kegan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. How's your weekend going so far?
So far, so good. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. Well, thanks again for coming on. You've got a couple marathons under your belt, so I'm really excited to kind of talk about what your journey was like getting to your first marathon and everything that went along with that, but also kind of hear about what changed when you ran your second one. But before we get there, I'd love to know just kind of how you got introduced to running in the first place.
Yeah, so I started running through soccer. So when I was in high school, we had this coach. He had to run 3 miles at a certain time before you could even practice. So I didn't practice for like a full year, just because I was not running that time. But got really good at kind of distance that way. And I kind of liked running over soccer. I didn't want to admit it to myself. And our track coach wanted me to do running instead of soccer, but I was like, no, I finally get to practice, so I'll just stick here. But it's something that stuck. So at first it was running, and I was kind of like, I was pretty out of shape. I was kind of bigger kid too, so it was almost unhealthy. Like, I was doing like restrictive eating and things like that, and so I was running to get to a certain point. But then I feel like running kind of took it over, and I was like, okay, well, you have to eat if you want to get better at running. And so it kind of turned into running for strength. And so that was really like all of high school. College kind of slowed down a little bit and was running and walking. Then in my early 20s, I dealt with a pretty big like loss to me. So someone I was very close with, and then kind of turned into running as a way of coping. And so in that sense, I was running kind of almost to exhaustion, because I'm like, well, I don't want to think, so let's just go out and run. And that was probably a couple years. So I got in an almost unhealthy way, got to, where I was doing like 200 miles a month, just out of not wanting to think about anything else. But I think it kind of kept me alive at that point. So we do what we can. It transitioned into something else about a year or two after, where I was just like, okay, well, this is really fun. So I'm on a wake up because I get to run. And then I didn't even start racing or anything like that until that point. So about 10 years in is where we got to the beginning of like half marathons, marathons, things like that for me.
Yeah. Wow. So your relationship with running changed pretty drastically in the last 10 years. It sounds like it was like kind of mandatory in the beginning, and then it's something that you came back to when you needed like something to distract yourself. And like, I assume it was a lot of a processing tool through that time too. And now, like you said, now you get to run. So that's such a cool pipeline of, you know, being forced to run and how that kind of changed over time. So once you started to sort of decide that you wanted to get into racing a little bit more, when did you make that decision, and how did you decide on the first race that you ran?
Yeah, so this was all, I don't want to say it was like 2016. I started when I was like 14. I'm about to be 31 now, so it's been a while. And it was really like no stress. I think it was more so like, they're like, hey, I had some friends at a job that are like, hey, I know you run. We're doing a marathon relay, and we just need you to do like a part of it. And so I ended up doing like 7 miles of this race. And then by the time I was done with my part of the relay, because it's like right in the middle, I was like, I just want to keep going. And I couldn't. But then you get your first medal, and you're like, oh, wow, I want more. I don't know what it is. I just want more of them. And so the next year, so 2017. I want to say 2017, 2018, somewhere in there. I did my first half marathon. And so I'm in Oklahoma City every year around April is usually when we do the big like memorial marathon for the Oklahoma City bombing. And so that was my first half. And I don't know. I feel like that initially started. I'm a competitor, so it was like 204. And I was like, I need to break two.
That's great.
And then, yeah. You know, as soon as you break one, now you have a new goal and it just it continues on. And it never ends. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how you get hooked in it for years. I think that's the cool part about the racing side of things is it like, yeah, it hooked you for some reason, even if it's just the medal and you're doing it for yourself, like there's just something about it. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. So I guess I didn't ask this before, but why do you think besides the race part of it, but why do you think running is something that you've always kind of come back to? Like, what is it about it for you?
There's multiple things, like in multiple different areas. I think consistently, it almost feels like, okay, this is the part I can control.
Yeah.
And so it gives me something like that's been consistent throughout my life. So that's the cool part. Also, I feel like I'm someone who has to like walk around or have to be standing or moving to make decisions and like think clearly. And so a lot of my biggest decisions are made on runs.
Yeah.
So it's almost like at this point, it's almost like if I'm going to be a better person if I am running, just because that's my time to like spend with myself. And then just the amount of time, like now that I have a kid, the amount of time I get with myself is really shrunk down a lot. So
it's
something that like I savor. I think that's why I just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, the control aspect too, that I think that's big for a lot of people. Just like having something that every time you go out on a run, it's you and you, and you can kind of control, you know, the duration, the effort, all of that is all up to you. So I think a lot of people would relate to that for sure. Cool. So then you got into the race world, and that is obviously a whole other level of motivation that it adds on top. So, you ran your first half marathon. What were you thinking from there? Were you immediately thinking, all right, let's do the full thing? Or were you thinking, let's do maybe a few more races and see how this feels?
Yeah. Yeah. So I did my first half, I think it was 2018. So I did my first half in 2018. I didn't do my first full until after COVID. So it was like 2021. And it was still like, that sounds like a lot. So I was up until that point, I'm like almost like always on a treadmill. I don't know what it was about running outside that scared me. but I was always on a treadmill, and then I would get to like 13, 14, 15 on a treadmill. And I just like, okay, well we could, and I just didn't. So it took a few more years. I did, it was really just that half every year. COVID changed it all, because now I'm just like, I need to get out. I need to leave. So I'm running outside a little bit more during COVID. At this point, so one thing that actually really helps now is that I have a husband who is obsessed with running as much, maybe more
intake
as I am.
Yeah.
He's done like over 10 marathons. And so, so running outside with him helped a lot. COVID helped a lot. I was running all the time. And so I think just not being able to race for a while, I'm like, I'll do any race. Give me a marathon.
Yeah.
And that's how, yeah, we kind of made the jump to that.
So give you a little push into the marathon world. Had you talked about it with your husband prior to signing up? Like, was it even crossing your mind, or did you really just feel like, all right, I got nothing better to do. I could like time to sign up for this marathon.
Yeah, no, he was a big factor in the first marathon, because I thought I would never do one. And then he's a very, everything looks easy to him. And so, I know it's not for him, but when you're just watching him, I'm like, that looks so easy. I feel like I should be able to do it. And so I want to say that was like he'd done at least five, I feel like, at that point. And then he has a goal. I have a goal of a half in every state. He has a goal of a marathon in every state. So he's just like, let's just do them. So he was big in like the training for that one. He's the only reason I had water or any nutrition or anything on that race. I was very underprepared. I didn't bring anything. He paced me the whole time. So yeah, he played a big role in that initial marathon.
Yeah. I bet that was huge, just having somebody that's already gone through it to kind of like bounce ideas off of and express your like frustrations too and your doubts too. I'm sure that was great having somebody with a little bit of experience that you were that close to through the whole training process. Well, cool. So did he help you with the actual training plan too, or was that something that you kind of developed and found on your own?
So I actually use the, it's like an app, it's called, I think it's Run With Hal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so he has a big running family. And so, my now brother-in-law, he's the one that suggested that app, but I've used it as kind of like a backbone for every race. I won't follow it completely, but just to give me an idea of like, okay, well, this is where we should be at this point. So I was doing, it was probably 50-50, like about half of it with like just with me. And then he would typically join for like long runs and things like that. He would do more than me a lot of the time, but I would follow my plan and just stick with that and entrust that.
Yeah. And since you were running so many half marathons, was that kind of your like base when you started training? That was the most that you had been kind of consistently putting in was 13.
Yeah. So my favorite distance is actually 15. And I don't know if that's why, I don't know if that's why I love half so much. I really do. But I think up until, I mean, I also was not the most prepared for my pool just because I completely underestimated it. So I think the longest I did train for the full was like 18 miles. You can do that. I feel like if you do that consistently, I ran 18 once and I was like, oh, that was hard. Well, we'll see. It just kind of went from there. My first, I think it was just a lot of like the ignorance is bliss. I was just like, oh, we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun for a lot of it, but there was a lot of it that could have been more fun if I had prepared a little bit better, I think.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So as you were kind of moving through training, I guess let me ask first, how long did you give yourself to train from like, you know, when you were running 15 miles all the way up to marathon day?
Yeah. So, I mean, I almost never stopped. It was only called training. So this year, it was still the Oklahoma City one. It got moved to October because of COVID. And so I think it was around like March, April that I was like, okay, we're officially marathon training. And then we had all the way to October. So I had plenty of time. I would say that the first like 80% of my training was textbook. I was going through like a job change, a couple vacations and things like that to where when I tapered, it was almost like no miles because I was like out of town. I was busy. So that kind of messed it up a little bit, but I would say a solid like, is that like 4 or 5 months on that first one, which I think with the base, it was good. I just don't think I pushed myself how I should have pushed myself. Sure. There's a lot of, well, that sounds hard. Let's not do that today. First time.
Yeah, it is. It's like you don't know what you don't know. Like, I really feel like the first one, you just have to throw everything out there and just like see what sticks, see what feels good. And you did it, obviously. So there's no one way to train for a marathon. I think it's just how it's going to feel during the race is all it depends on. But where did you feel like kind of your, like in those 4 months, where did you feel like your high points were in training where you were like, yeah, I got this. This is going to work out. And then if there were any like doubts that were going through your head, maybe we could talk about some of that.
Yeah. So high points were, I just like running. So I'm like, cool, we get to do it. Like, this is my excuse. This is my excuse. So the next 5 months, I'm going to be running. So high points were typically just like the day to day. I'm a check mark person. So checking off those things. Low points, summer outside. That was new for me. I was a treadmill runner for the most part. And then I was hearing, okay, the summer is going to, like, it's going to pay off because it's not always going to be this hot and you're going to have this conditioning and all this kind of stuff. But there was a lot of doubt whenever, okay, now it's 90 degrees at 11 a.m. and it's either you're going to wake up early or you're not and you're going to have to sit in this. And that was probably the biggest adjustment for me. It was just like, there's no way around this heat. And if you don't, you're going to be on a treadmill for like 18 Which is, it's doable, but it's just not the same. I feel like I like going somewhere. Yeah.
Totally.
The heat was the biggest adjustment. And then that was my first time really like pushing it in the summer. So, like trusting that it was heat and not just myself was really hard to do in that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a pretty time, like right now is a pretty timely time to say that. Cause I've been seeing a lot of posts lately from people that are like, my winter pace is like out the door and we're all transitioning into like our summer paces. But yeah, I think it's important to note just like, you're not going to perform the same that you do in cooler temperatures that you do in the summer, and fueling's going to be completely different. And it's just like, yeah, you have to kind of get comfortable with it. You not being able to perform at your best for a while, and like, it's okay, you know? But cool. So you said in the beginning that you were like strictly a treadmill runner and you didn't really like to run outside, but then you just said that like later you ended up, you did like it a little bit more to run outside. So when did that transition, and like, how did you kind of push yourself to run outside more?
So initially it was just, I didn't want to run outside by myself, I think. And I think some of that comes from, I don't want to like shame. I don't know how to describe. The only way I could describe this is like, you know, like the kid that's scared to wear like a coat when it's cold out because they don't want to look like weird. So I was always in that first marathon, I didn't want to carry water. I didn't want to carry nutrition. I didn't want to have the hat. I didn't want any of that because I didn't want to look like I was trying, because I didn't. It's almost like imposter syndrome. I didn't want to look like I was trying to do something good. I wanted it to just look natural, easy, and it didn't. So I think running by myself, I was like, I'm going to have to take all this stuff with me or I'm just going to be terrible. And so my husband kind of helped with that. So I got to where I'd wear the spy belt and stuff like that, but he'd come with me. And then my biggest thing was like cars looking at me. I don't know what it was. I didn't want people seeing me like puffing and puffing down the road. So having a partner in that first marathon was big. I will say that is a luxury now. So now that I have my son, almost all of my runs, I'd say 90% are by myself. And then of that, the majority of those are outside. So I'm wearing the vest, I'm wearing the glasses, the hat, everything now. So I've gotten over that. But initially it was just having someone to run with. I think that changed it for me. Because I'm like, okay, well, if I think I look weird, I didn't look weird running. But now we look weird together, so I don't know. It helped me get over it.
Yeah, that's great. And imposter syndrome, I think, is a big thing for a lot of people. It's just like, especially in the beginning, right? Like when you haven't run your first marathon, you don't really feel, or at least maybe I'm speaking from experience, but like I didn't really feel like a runner until like I ran the marathon, and then I was like, okay, now I can be part of the club and like invest in some of this stuff and you know, and be with the cool kids. But yeah, for a while it was like, I don't want to spend too much money because I don't know if this is something I'm actually going to stick with. And I don't want to wear the gear because I don't like you said, I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard. So yeah, I feel like that's totally, totally relatable, to feel like that. So once you did kind of get outside and get more comfortable, did you feel like the mindset shifted about outside? Like you just started to like ease into it a little bit more.
Yeah. So like initially on the treadmill, I would plan all of my runs around like NBA games or like soccer games or things like that, so I could watch it. But I'm like, if I'm outside, that's the entertainment. Like it just got to where going, and I understand like there are days that you have to be inside, or like, especially now there are times where I have to be like home running or something like that. But it's just, it's really nice. I don't know, the vitamin D, the fresh air, you can't beat it. So that switch did happen. I definitely prefer it. And then also I like, a treadmill's going to kind of like tell you your pace. I like kind of having some control over that myself. To go with the hills, and then also, like the little hills and the changes in the road, I feel like that's nice.
Yeah. Are you a headphone listener when you run outside? Do you like music, podcasts? What do you like to listen to?
It depends on the day. So I have the AirPods and I'll put it on transparent so I can hear like around me kind of. I'll do audiobooks. I'd say audiobooks are about 50% of the time. And then we'll do some podcasts. I listen to your podcast a few times.
Thanks.
While I'm running. And then also music. So I have like, and then I have too many different moods. So I have so many different playlists. And I'm like, okay, I think it's this type of day. Yeah. But it's always music. If I'm running with someone, I can talk with them. But if I'm by myself, I need something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need someone to talk to me.
Yeah. Just something to zone out to for a while. Like get that really good to kind of sit internally. I think that's great. Well, cool. So let's fast forward a little bit to your 18 mile run. So you ran your last run. You said that you were kind of feeling like, well, like we figure out the last eight from here. Right. So what was kind of going through your head once you finished the 18 miler, leading up to your marathon?
I was still in that ignorance is bliss area.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, okay, well, I haven't had any issues to this point. I also was like, I think I had my husband, he gave me, like, he wasn't my husband at this point, but he gave me like two gels. He's like, here, take this, like 6 miles in. And then like, I think it was like way later, like probably 15. Cause I was like, I don't want it. I didn't like the taste of, I think it was like goo. So I was like, well, I'm doing great. This is wonderful. I don't have any issues. Like, this is going to be, it's only what, like 8 more miles at this point? I've done 8 miles. I had no and no clue. And I think that's a very, I wish I could get that confidence back, but it's
right.
I thought it was going to be great. I don't want to make it sound like it wasn't. It was a great learning experience, and sure. We got there, but I learned a lot from that marathon. I'll just say that at that point I was still, we're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it like you wish you could go back to that ignorance a little bit so that you don't know what you know now, like going into it. It definitely does add a little bit of pressure, mm-hmm. I think, the second time around, but cool. So you were feeling like, I got this, we're ready to go. And then you said, how long was your taper period? Did you say like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
it was too long. So it was supposed to be, I had scheduled for like 2 weeks. My sister and my brother at the time, like they both lived in Portland at the time. And so I went to visit them, and I really thought I was going to run while I was there. I did like a couple shorter runs, like 3-4 miles, which I guess. But I was looking back on Strava, like I was really searching the other day, and I was like, wow, you really ran like 8 miles 3 weeks before your marathon. And then you didn't run until like a couple days before your marathon. Like it was a taper, like we tapered all the way down to nothing.
Yeah.
But it was like 3 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it took 3 weeks, to where you were kind of, like you said, you were out of town and doing stuff with your family. And then were you home the week before? Like, did you have a chance to kind of settle in before your marathon and, you know, like mentally prepare, or did you go like vacation straight to marathon day?
Yeah. So we actually, this is a very good, like, tell not to have. So I started a new job, I think like 2 or 3 days before. So, I was home. So I started a new job. And then that weekend was actually, my now sister-in-law's wedding. And so it was about 2 hours out of town. So that was the night before. Her wedding, it was like, you know, it goes till like 11, 12. I think we left at like 9:30 and drove back to Oklahoma City. And then we got back around like midnight. I went to sleep around 1. We woke up for the marathon at like 4:30.
Dang. So. Yeah. Quick turnaround.
Yeah, very quick turnaround. So that was the like week up leading up to it.
Yeah, so you had a lot going on. I mean, that might have, I guess, been maybe a blessing in disguise. You couldn't stress about the marathon if he had all of his other stuff going on. For sure. And then, like, you know, you can't help your family's wedding. Like, that sounds like somebody really close to you. So, like, what were you going to do, you know? So how were you feeling the morning of? Were you, like, were you nervous for the race? Were you still in that, like, kind of ignorance is bliss phase where you were like, no, I'm good? Or, like, how were you feeling the morning of?
Yeah, so the morning of, like, all races, I get, like, very nervous, I think. Cause I don't know. I think it's just like you're going to really try, and that gets to me. So I got really quiet. I have my headphones in. I'm like, please don't talk about it. Like, we're on our way there. And I'm like, he's right beside me, my husband. And I was like, I just crouched down and I don't know. I don't like to be up with everyone. So I kind of, we're in the corral and I'm like crouched down in a corner listening to music until we start. So the nerves really do like kick in for me, like morning. Mm-hmm.
And did your husband, I'm sorry if I missed this, but did your husband run this marathon with you as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So he paced me on this one.
Oh, right. You did say that. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So you got to go through it with him. So I'm sure that was nice, but it sounds mm-hmm. like you wanted to like be in your own world. So you were telling him like, do your own thing. I'm going to be in my own head here. So the race starts, what miles? I feel like we've talked about it on this podcast a couple of times that the race, like, for a lot of people, it feels like it's in two, like three or four parts. So what was mm-hmm. the first part for you? Was it like 1 to 10, 1 to 8? Where were you feeling really good for the first kind of half?
Yeah. So where I was feeling really good was probably through it. Now there's like rolling hills. So it kind of mm-hmm. comes and goes, Oklahoma City. You know, and then also the first couple miles, you're like getting out of the big group and kind of getting right. into your own step. But I don't want to just say strictly the half. I would say probably like 14, 15, like that first chunk is like, okay, we're going to go. My goal was 4 hours. I didn't hit that goal, but, it was okay. We're going to stay right around like 10 minutes, maybe a little bit faster downhills and stuff like that, but don't get too carried away unless you see how it feels. It was nice. We were talking for a lot of it. And I think I wasted a lot of energy, like going around giving people high fives, but you know, that kind of, that's the cool part about marathons.
Yeah, it's part of it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we were really like laughing, talking, stuff like that for like the first 14, 15 ish. Then we started getting into the uncharted territory for me. So like 15 to 20, there's not very many people around you. Like the crowds are pretty good in Oklahoma City, but around that time there aren't too many. And so that's when I was like, oh, we're just going to keep on going. And I want to say that we stayed pretty good. At this point, he's like, okay, let's go. Let's go. And he's like helping me some. But then I hate to be, it's almost like, I feel like we hear it all the time, but it's like 20 to 26, 21, 26, that it's like, that's the race.
Yes.
And that's like the mental part. And that's where I was out of it. I was like, I don't know. I like, that's what I was not prepared for this time. And yeah, so that was probably the three parts. So like, yeah, kind of what I was used to, uncharted territory, and then kind of letting that cycle me out, my body just being done for those last 6 miles. And then we finished and like initially I didn't feel anything. But I mean, I was able to walk around and everything like that. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. But strength training is my biggest weakness and it's something I'm embracing a lot right now just because I'm reminded, oh, that was a big weakness of yours. But I had pulled something, like in my knee, and then I had some hip issues where I wasn't able to run for like a month and a half after that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big like lesson learning race, I think, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when there, you never know what's going to happen on marathon day, right? But mm-hmm. it's like when you don't feel good after, you feel like something's wrong. I agree. I think that's where you can kind of like go and self-evaluate, like, okay, what could I have done to make the recovery feel a little bit better? Cause during the race, it's probably not going to feel great, but like after recovery, I think that's definitely a telling time for a lot of people. So from 20 to 26, like what were you telling yourself to keep yourself motivated, or were you really kind of leaning on your husband to like pull you through the thing?
It got kind of dark. So I was like, he was trying. He's like, hey, let's go. We're almost there. 5 more. And I was like, I don't need to hear 5 more. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to kind of go in my own head. I wasn't telling myself anything. I was like, just don't think about it. Just, I think it was more so like, whatever you do within the next, I was really I went from like 10-minute miles. I was like, within 2 hours, you'll be done. So just think about that time. And so, I mean, he would remind me when there's cameras, he's like, pose. And I would, it looked so, I was so tired. I was like, but, yeah, it was mainly just whatever you do, if, as long as you keep going, within 2 hours, you're going to be done. So
yeah. Yeah. That's it. Just keep the, do the runner's math, like keep that in mind.
Yeah.
What we have left.
Yeah.
Cool. So then the finish line, you said that you kind of just felt neutral. It sounds like, did you get, was it because you felt like that injury that you were talking about, or just you were exhausted, or what, why do you think that was?
Yeah. So, are you talking about like emotionally?
Yeah. 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 I think you said like the finish line, you felt just kind of like nothing. So what do you think attributed to that?
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was my initial thought was, okay, I've done that. I never have to do that again.
Yeah.
So that first marathon kind of left a sour taste, just because I know I didn't, at that point, I didn't know what I didn't know, but I didn't,
right.
I was like, okay, well, I tried it and I don't think I gave myself a fair shot that first one. But at that time I was just like, we don't have to do that again. That was cool though. Like, now I'm a marathoner, but that was my one and done marathon. I like the half a lot better. So yeah, I mean, it was just, I think it was more so like a, okay, well, you've done it. You never have to do it again, over like a, you did it. You're so strong.
Got it.
I think there's a big difference there.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And I'm sure like how your body was feeling had a lot to do with that. Just like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Like checked it off the list. I'm definitely a half marathon runner, not a marathon runner, but glad I did it so I could like come to that conclusion. So from there, like you said that you experienced an injury and you couldn't run for a while. What was that period like of going from like, and I know you had a taper period where you took some time off, but you went from like marathon training to marathon to then stop again. Like what was that like for you?
That was really frustrating. So it would be like, I took, I want to say like 2 weeks off after, and then, we went on, like, we went to this little, there's like a trail that's like a 1.2 mile loop, and we're like, we'll just do one. If we feel good, we'll do another. And if we feel good, we'll do another and just call it a day. I think I made it. It starts with a hill. So I made it up the hill, but the second it was even ground, I immediately felt it in my hip first more than anything. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I can't run yet. And I tried not to get too scared of it or anything like that. But it was, we would try that weekly and it just was not coming back. And I ended up doing like physical therapy and everything like that for it. It was really frustrating. So, it's a big mental piece for me. And so I was able to do the Stairmaster after like, I think like 3 or 4 weeks. So I would do that a few days a week, but it's not the same. And then that's whenever you're like, oh, if I could just run again, I would appreciate it. I promise I would appreciate it. So, it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is frustrating, but it's good that you were kind of listening to your body. Like you tried to run a little bit. You felt that it hurt, took a step back. Cause I'm sure if you just kept kind of pushing through that it would have taken you a lot longer to recover. So yeah, that's good that you took it slow. And then once you recovered, what sort of goals did you have in mind from there? Were you kind of just like, okay, time to recover and I want to get back into a good routine? Or were you thinking, when's the next like half marathon in my area that I could run?
Yeah. So it was back to half marathons. So with COVID, so we had the full in October, and that was the only one that was actually like not in the spring. And so they already had the spring set back up for the next year. And so initially it was immediately like, okay, we'll just train for this half. During that time frame between the full and the next half, so it was like October to April, I got engaged. I was like in this new role where I was traveling a lot. So I think for that first half marathon, my thought process was, okay, well, you did a full, so you know your conditioning's a little higher than what you would need for half the distance. And so I really took it pretty easy. And then even for that next half, there was no time goal. It was a strictly for fun half. So yeah. I want to say during those times I was running like 4 or 5 days a week, and then it was kind of just off of feeling at that point for that next half.
Yeah, cool. So then I think it's great to have a for fun like race on the calendar every once in a while. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of the pressure off, and you can yeah. just like enjoy training and not put so many like boundaries around it. I'm sure that was even nice after marathon training and kind of going through an injury too.
Yeah.
So when did you decide, was it after the half that you, I guess I went kind of trying to get the time frame right. So what, how many years after this sort of injury mm-hmm. and then signing up for your half marathon after your marathon, did you run your second marathon?
Yeah, so it was 2021, October 2021 for the first, and then I just did the second last month, so April 2024.
Okay,
gotcha. So the mindset shift was pretty back to back. Got married, and then I had my or got pregnant, had my son. So I had him in March of 2023, but it was a high risk pregnancy and they wouldn't let me run for the second half of it. And I think during that's what did it. So it was about not truly the second half. I would say like the last 10 weeks I couldn't run. And then through like the first couple months of having my son, or really the first 3 months of having him, I really couldn't run. And so that time was where the like frustration, I need to move.
Yeah.
Kind of peaked, and I was like, if I could just run again, I'll do it right this time. Like it was yeah. almost like, yeah, yeah. It was like, if I just had a second chance, I would do it so much better. And I just need that time. And so I started running like last June. And then the whole goal was just, I want to see what my postpartum PR was. And then, trained, I did a couple races, like for fun, just to kind of see where I was at, and then did Houston this January. So yeah, January, 2024, I did a Houston half, and I actually got, like a 4 minute overall PR, like from my,
that's great.
Like pre-pregnancy half marathon. I was like, oh, and so that kind of reaffirmed to me, like, okay, well, if I actually follow a plan, if I actually take a water bottle with me, if I actually like take nutrition and like do all the steps, like I can be better than I was when I was younger, just because I didn't try when I was younger. So trying actually does work. And so it was with that, like in January that I actually decided I was going to do the full in April. So jumped right from half training into full training.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So I guess kind of another like theme with you, it's every time your life takes like a little bit of a turn or you're going through something, it seems like running kind of comes to a halt, and then you come back with like, all right, time to do this thing again, like full steam ahead. Yeah, yeah. But it's cool that like, yeah, like I said in the beginning, it's just cool that your relationship with running has changed so much over time that you just keep coming back to it like that. During that time after your pregnancy and you had your son, what, and when you couldn't run, like what were you doing to, if anything, to kind of keep yourself motivated to run? Or was it really like it stopped, so you felt like, all right, let's come back and do this thing like with a vengeance?
Yeah, so that's another, like my husband, he really did help a lot. So every night, because I just felt very big in my like my body, so like it's hard mm-hmm. to breathe, you know, they move all your organs stuff, so like
yeah.
Every night after the sunset, like we'd go on a walk. And so like it'd be probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and my husband would come out and he'd walk like 30 minutes with me, and that would have to do. But I don't know. That helped a lot, but it was also like, if I'm out here, I might as well run. And then I would try and it would just hurt. I can't do it. And I didn't want to mess with anything. So, sure. But yeah, walking during that time helped a lot. And then after, giving birth, it was just, cause you can't do anything for really like 6 weeks, but I wanted to make sure that I could jump right into it. And so once we hit the 6 weeks, I went to like a pelvic floor therapist just to be like, okay, how do we get here? And so immediately started those exercises with walking and everything like that, just to make sure that it's more so like I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to run right into an injury. Like I wanted to make sure I did it the right way.
Right, right. And then it take even longer and then you're off even longer. Like that, yeah, that would have been probably worst case scenario for sure. Cool. So then once you were started, you got kind of cleared, like some advice from your doctor, you were able to start running again. Were you signed up for anything at that point, or were you just kind of starting to get back into the routine of things?
Yeah, just getting back into the routine. That's whenever I decided, and everything is pretty new. So I decided that at that point, I want to do like a half in every state, just as like, I really like to travel and then I really like that distance. So we visited my sister. She still lives in Oregon. So we're like, okay, we're going to visit you. And then I think we signed up a couple weeks before actually visiting her. Like we just signed up for a race that was happening around her at that time. And it was like a Vancouver half marathon, which is pretty close. She's in Portland. And so I signed up for that and then did that race. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, and then what I found, and this was kind of, I was trying, but from my training in June to like September, October, I'm forgetting, what was my, like my fun race time in that last race before getting married was now my, I'm going to try my hardest time for this one. And I'm like, okay, so we're not too far off. Like, I mean, we're doing the same time. That was fun. This one, I am catching my breath, but it was still like pretty close. And I think that kind of reassured me like, okay, you're within reach. You can get there. And then also it was just kind of really cool because that was at that first one was like 6 months postpartum. And so I was like, okay, cool. We're doing a lot more, a lot quicker than I thought we would. And there's no time frame on it. And also I think I was able to get to that at 6 months just because at this point I'm not working full time. So through this day, till this day, I'm doing, like I'm an adjunct. So really part-time work. And so I do have a lot more time throughout the day that most moms don't get. And I want to very thankful for that. Sure. Very thankful for that opportunity to be like with my kid, but then also where other moms are like, sleep is really the most important. If I was working full time where I would be sleeping, this is where I have time now to like kind of run. So I did get that to that point and a lot quicker than I think I would have if I were working full time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That's helpful to have a little bit of time on your hands for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So then what did you, when you decided I'm going to sign up for this marathon and do this thing a second time around, like what were you thinking you needed to change the second time around to perform better than, you know, the first time around?
Yeah. So the number one thing is up until this point, everything has been, okay, well, my husband's going to help me do this. It was kind of at this point, I was like, I have to take ownership of it myself if I want to reach my own goals. And so like he would join me from time to time, but, and like, if I asked for advice, he'd give it, but it was more so, okay, he's not telling me when we're running. I'm not relying on him for my motivation or my water or anything like that. It has to be like my own race. And so this is the first, I want to say this last half in this last full or the first races that I did that were really all based on my own, like, inner voice and own motivation, which I think was a big difference. So it was finding my own reason why I wanted to run fast and not just, oh, this will be fun if we do it together. You're not going to leave me, are you? And I think that was the biggest difference in this one. That and then also actually preparing too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good point. Just like, it's a lot different when it's all on you. Like you said, you gotta maybe like dig a little bit deeper and really kind of like determine your why, which I know we've talked a little bit about on this podcast. So during that time, like what was your why for running a marathon the second time around?
There are a few. One of the biggest is just like my son and wanting to, like, I want to peak at some point when he remembers it. I don't think I've peaked yet. I don't want to for years to come. And
yeah.
Like if you ask my husband, it's more so he wants to beat him. I don't care about beating him. He can beat me. I hope he does. But just for him to be like, okay, cool. She has something that she likes. And I feel like that's something that's lost with adulthood is like hobbies and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like she is something that she pursues that isn't for money. It's just to like bring joy. So that's the number one. Right after that, it's really all of the like aunts, uncles, grandparents that were able to like, okay, we'll watch him for 5 minutes or not 5 minutes, but like 30, 40 minutes while you run and then be just running from the house as fast as I can to like, we had a very big support system. And so like, for instance, like my sister watched him on like a weekly basis and things like that. My son,
that's great.
Just to give us time. So it was really all of the people that like watched him. And so I'm, in some way I made it, I know they want to see their like their nephew, their grandson, but in some way it's also them telling me like, okay, well, we believe you can do this, so go do it. And I, so that helped a lot. So just having that support system also was kind of like feeding back into myself, like, okay, well, I can do it because they've given me the time to do it. So I owe it to myself to like try, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I like that a lot. It's like they allowed you to have the space to like kind of develop this new relationship with the marathon distance. So I think that that's really cool. Sweet. So marathon, well, I guess before we get to marathon day, because the last time around you said your one of your biggest regrets was only running 18 miles. So the second time around, what was the, what mileage did you get to for your training plan?
I think our, my longest was 22, I think. It was either 21 okay. or 22. And then this was a really funny day because my husband, he was dry, like he had a trip. He had like a work trip. And mm-hmm. so if I was going to make it happen, I was going to have to, I ran from my house. I ran around the lake from my house. And then I ran to the airport and I had to meet him at the airport.
Oh, no way.
And then, yeah, I had to immediately, he brought me like water and a snack. And I was like, okay, well, have fun. My son's in the back seat and I have to drive him home. So like, it was really funny because like before long runs are like, oh, I'm going to be doing nothing the rest of the day. And then this day I'm like, hey, well, how am I going to shower and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
But I reached, I think I did like two or three above 20 and then 22 was the longest. And that was, yeah. I want to say like 6 weeks out, I did the 22. I don't know if that's right, but it's what
I don't think there's any right way. Yeah. I don't think there's any right way to do it, to be honest. It's like every training plan's a little bit different. Like you're a mom, you've got things going on outside of just running mm-hmm. And things like that. So you just, you got to fit into the schedule where you can, I think. But, was that a big, like help for your confidence running those longer distances the second time around versus the first time around?
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea of, so my goal, I didn't hit my goal for this time, but it was also a very steep goal. But being able to hold like goal pace for like over 10 miles of these training runs, I was like, that was very helpful. It helped a lot.
Yeah.
With just like, believing I could do it.
For sure. Yeah. And was it different? Like, the first time around, you mentioned like you leaned on your husband a lot for fuel and to kind of give you water and things like that. Was it, how different was it to carry it yourself and to like have to strategize when you were going to take it and like kind of come up with a plan that way? How different was that?
Yeah, that was very different. So like, yeah, now it'll be like the night before a race and I'm in my head planning out, okay, so at like the third mile, let's get, make sure like if you haven't had anything to drink by this point, make sure you're drinking water. And like my whole plan is drink water at least every 2 miles, have some kind of fuel at least every 3 to 4 miles. Like also trying out all the different fuel to figure out what I actually like. That was a big part of strategy for me. It took up a lot of my energy. I run with a vest and I kind of lean on the vest a lot. I'll wear a vest if it's like 3-4 miles, and I don't care. I think it looks cool.
yeah, yeah.
And I always want to, now I'm over prepared. So I have my AirPod case, I have a taser, I have my water, too much like nutrition. I carry a lot of stuff with me all the time. And so it's gotten to the point where I'm making notes and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to count carbs and all that kind of stuff to make sure. But yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. And towards the end, I'll definitely ask about fuel because I'm curious, like, what fuel options you landed on that you really, really liked. But before we get there, how did the marathon day go for you the second time around?
Okay. So, I mean, it was still a learning opportunity. It wasn't perfect at all. So the night before this marathon, we actually had a tornado warning. And sleep wasn't the best. To this day, I haven't slept more than 5 hours before a race. And so I think we were right at 4 this time. And I ended up getting sick the morning of. So any kind of nutrition or whatever I had before, like my carbo load, all that kind of stuff kind of was out the window. But once we actually got into the race, I was so nervous this time around. Like I'm shaking. For like the first couple miles. And I don't know, I think it was just like the expectation I placed on myself. So got in my own head. But once we were a couple miles in, that all went away. And it was actually like a really good race for like the first like 21-ish miles. So like through that time. Yeah, most of it. So through like the first 21, I was on track. I was right at where my pace was supposed to be. And then my goal time, what I would really like to do is eventually like Boston and all that kind of stuff. But first, I think for me to qualify for Chicago, I think that would be a cool one. I want to do like the world majors. And so for Chicago, I would need a 340. And so that's like my like top goal for right now is like we want to hit that 340. So I would need to do, I think it was like, I honestly can't remember. I think it was 8:20 was where I was supposed to be in my head just to make sure I got it. And so we were there for like the first 21 miles. And then just because I think if I didn't have anything in me before the race started, cramp started. And so I would have these full body cramps that I'd have to stop and wait for it to go. And then I'd start running again. And so when I'm running, like I'm now extremely sore from these cramps, but we're still pretty close to that pace, but it's the complete stop that I have to do to let it go through my body. And I'm almost thinking about like contractions. I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's like the contractions are getting closer together. Like, so I would just run as far as I could until it took over and then I'd have to wait for it to go through my whole body and then keep going.
Oh my gosh.
And So we didn't get that. We did get my initial goal, which was sub 4, which I'm like, okay, that's cool. But
definitely.
And then also after, like how I felt during the race, like how I felt after was still like, I felt great after. So I was like, okay, well, you did. That was really cool. That's the fastest among us you ever run. Like I've ever run in my life. And so still feel really cool there. And then, like I could immediately see like, okay, well, we need more strength training next time around. So I've already started that. And then also probably need more nutrition at the end. Like just because once those cramps started, that went out the window. I was like, I can completely let go of that strategy. I think I got lost in my mind. But I feel like my mindset and everything was a lot better this time around, and I'm actually like really proud of this last one.
Yeah, that's great. You're definitely gonna get it on the next one, your goal. You're so close. and yeah, it sounds like you know exactly what you need to do too. Like you were saying right after the race, you're like, okay, I need strength training, like I gotta incorporate this and make sure I fuel longer and things like that. So yeah, I think you're right there. But that, what a cool, you kind of accomplished your original goal from the first marathon the second time around. So now your next goal is just gonna be fed into the next marathon. Do you, maybe a little bit early because you just ran your marathon, but do you have goals for or a plan for when you're going to run your next one, or you're still kind of thinking about when that might be?
I'm still thinking about it because I almost signed up like, so I wasn't sore at all like 4 days post, which is amazing for me. I was like, wow, because I was used to, like, I couldn't run for almost 2 months that first time. So that gave me this false sense of like, okay, let's just jump right back into it. And I was immediately looking at races. Initially, if I would have signed up when I wanted to, I was looking at like, I think it's like the Jack and Jill downhill, and it's in outside of Seattle. And the end of July, which felt really soon. And so I was like, okay, just think about it. And I'm glad I didn't sign up for that, because I wanted to give myself a month. So in June, I'm allowed to like look at races and pick again. I think I want to do another half in another pool at some point this fall into like January. So we'll get those. I'll probably get those on in June, but I don't know what they are. I do know I do want to do a couple like 5Ks or something this summer, just because I've done like maybe 3 5Ks my whole life. Like, I want to see what distances are like, and see if, I don't know though. I will see how I do with those. I just want to test them out.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like that's a normal runner pipeline. It's like half marathon to marathon. And then you're like, oh, maybe I'll go back and try a 5K and see what sprinting is like. And I'll, exactly. Yeah. I don't think I ran my first 5K until after I ran my marathon either. It's funny how like you, you circle back to it, but cool. Well, looking forward to kind of seeing what comes next. I'm like, I'm gunning for that, for you to hit that goal. That's a steep one to hit, but I think you're right there. If you give yourself some time. So that's awesome. I guess if you had any advice, because there's a lot of newer runners that listen to this podcast. So if you had any advice for somebody who's maybe, you know, getting into running, thinking about running their first half or running their first marathon, what advice would you give them?
Okay. So for completely new runners, because I remember going from nothing to running in high school. And I would say that the biggest advice that like our coach put on us was, it was like 3 miles or 30 minutes. So like, if you can't do, you don't have to do it every day, but when you're running, or just say like, okay, give yourself 30 minutes first, and then you can walk if you want to jog a little bit of it, just that walk jog. And then I think that the timing over the mileage initially is what helped me a lot. And so like, okay, well, we're going to move, and it's not actually like, you don't have to run the whole time. You don't have to sprint. Don't think of it as a sprint. Initially for me, it was walk, and then we're going to walk, jog, and then we're going to walk, and then we're going to walk, jog, until we're going to like slowly jog until we need to take a break, and then just keep walking during that break. But initially it's just see how long you can move. And then each week, maybe it's like 10 minutes the first week, you're moving 10 minutes a day. Then the next week, try 12, try 15, and then it'll grow. It'll grow as long as you keep moving. So that's for like the brand new, for like marathon training and things like that. Sticking to a plan actually works, and I'm proof of that. I've tried it both ways. And if you can stick to a plan, follow through with it, it's going to take up a lot of your life for a second, but it works. There's a reason people follow plans. So find something that works for you. My Garmin has suggestions. I know Nike Run Club has suggestions. The app I use is Run With Hal. You can also just Google them. But find a plan that you think looks manageable and try to stick to it.
Yeah, there's a million of them out there. And you can kind of fit them into your schedule one way or the other. Like you said, there's definitely going to be sacrifices that you have to make through marathon training, but it's so worth it in the end. It's just a small period of the year that you dedicate to it. So. Cool. That's great advice. And then I wanted to get back to fuel, because you said that you had kind of dialed that in for your second one. So what do you really like? Yeah. Like, you kind of touched on your strategy a little bit, but how did the strategy kind of change over time, if it did?
Yeah. So the fuel, my favorite fuel, and they're like candy to me, and no one can use them, I don't think. Like the Clif Blocks, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I use those in the beginning,
They're very thick and dense gummies. And so at first that was all I liked, to the point where I would like cut them in half and stuff like that to try to make them easier for me to like pull out and chew while I'm running.
Yeah.
So that's still something. I just like the taste of them. So that's still something that I use on every run. And then it's either it's like SIS, or it's science and sports. Mm-hmm. And so those are, cause I'm not, I kind of like Martine, but I don't ever want to like race with Martine. And that's the closest to this I can describe. But the like science and sports, like S, big S, lowercase I, big S again, or uppercase S again. And they have a flavor. It's the lemon lime one. It just kind of tastes like the Gatorade. It's a little bit thicker than Gatorade, but it's still, and their main thing is that they say that it's the consistency is that you don't need to drink water with it. Mm-hmm. And you actually don't. So it's really cool in that way. So it's a slightly thicker than water, but it, and it does help me. It feels really good. Like it doesn't upset my stomach or anything like that. So
right,
those are my two. And the way I do it is I typically take like 2 to 3 Cliff Blocks as just like candy to motivate myself to run. And I'll do that before I run. And then about, depending on how long I'm running, like let's say I'm doing like 2 hours or something, like 30, 40 minutes in, somewhere between there, I'll do like 2 of the SIS things. They just look like Martine things to me, but take a couple of those. And then about 2/3 of the way through, I'll have like 2 to 3 more Cliff Blocks. And then, about 25 minutes after that, I'll take another of the SIS things. So it's not down to a science, but that's like, it helps. I don't feel like I'm starving after. I also don't feel like I'm really like, you know how your energy starts to taper off and you're like, I wonder what's wrong. And then as soon as you take something, you're like, oh, that was it. Like,
yeah,
that helps with it. Typically at the beginning, I'll give myself like 30 to 40, but then after that, it's like every 30 minutes, make sure I'm taking something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that typically is what works best for me so far. We're still testing everything out though.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll change a little bit by the second time around, but I'll have to try that, the SIS brand. Cause that's one thing that I don't like is having to take a ton of water when I take, like when I'm fueling, I'll drink water throughout, but like having to really down some all at once. Yeah. So I'll have to check out that one. That actually sounds
what are nice. You currently using?
I used to love Cliff Blocks. My only thing, like the flavor I think is better than a lot of the other ones I've tried. They're just so big that sometimes I have a hard time chewing them on a run. So maybe cutting them up, like you said, would have been the move, but, I switched to the Honey Stinger ones because they were a little bit smaller and I thought they tasted pretty similar. So I've been kind of going with that, but I'm in like my quote unquote off season. My marathon's not until November right now. So I'm testing out anything and everything to see if there's anything else that I like a little bit more. Cause I'm still not like 100% sold on the Honey Stinger ones, but yeah, kind of playing around with stuff right now. So that's I'm glad you had that suggestion. I'm going to get online, check it out. And then for shoes, what did you like for shoes? Like, were there any that you stuck with from the beginning? Do you use different shoes for like racing to training? What do you like in terms of shoes?
Yeah. So my favorite shoe that I had like for the majority of like my running, was so I loved Saucony. So Saucony, and it was, I'm not good with names, it's like Endorphin, I think it was Speed.
Yeah.
And so I had that one forever. And so my running shoe is still the Endorphin Pro, I think is what it's called. But one that surprised me this past fall is it's the New Balance Fuel Cell Super Comp. I think that's the name.
Yeah, they have to make them so complicated. I believe you.
But that shoe, I really, really, that's my favorite shoe to run in. And then also since giving birth, my shoe size has changed. So it grew half a size. And then also like just in the running stores and everything like that, they're like go up half a size from that. So I'm now running a full size bigger than I was before just to have that extra space in like the toe box and everything. But that's really good. And then, you know, like the runners, like laces thing where you tie it a little tighter around your ankle. That's helped a lot. But the New Balance shoe, that is my favorite shoe of all time. I could run a race in that shoe. I don't have to because I have the other one. But if it came down to it, I would feel confident running a race in that shoe. It's also good for like every day. But it's just so, it has a very good like bounce and very good like response. So whereas like some other New Balance shoes, I feel like I'm sinking almost in them, or some like that are too cushy, like you sink into it and it feels really good to walk. But this one I feel like is my favorite, absolute favorite shoe to run in. And if yeah. that's the right name, get that shoe. If not, I'm sorry. But I think it's Fuel Cell Supercomp something.
Yeah, I'm sure if people are Googling it, they'll find it. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. New Balance has come up. I think you're like three in a row interviews that I've done in a row where you were really pro New Balance. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely, I don't want to say it's like picking up steam because I think people have liked them for a bit, but it seems like they're coming out with some styles that people are really liking lately. So yeah. That's cool. Sweet. Well, I guess my last question for you is just, where can we find you? If anyone wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So, if you want to see, it's almost like a rambling page. I just post photo dumps of my running journey on it. But I'm on Instagram and it's, KCT runs. That's the whole thing. All I really post there is you'll see if I'm running a race and then kind of like my weekly trainings of that race. So right now it's more so like, hey, we're just kind of hanging out. But that's the best place to find me, I think.
Cool. Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing you hit your goals later this year and seeing what race you end up signing up for. Really excited to see how that goes. But just thank you again for coming on. I really enjoyed hearing your story and kind of hear how you got to this point. So awesome having you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.